Art of Chanting, Chapter 3, Nama Parad. And I wanted to read one entry from, a couple entries from a very good book by Shivaram Swami called Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, which gives a whole analysis of bhakti, all the different types of bhakti and Raghunuga bhakti, everything. It's quite an encyclopedia of bhakti. It's very well written and has an index and it's like 800 pages. Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. It's a really good book. So some people say that if you just chant Hare Krishna, then automatically you'll make spiritual advancement, automatic advancement. Just stay in ISKCON or just go to Mangalarti, chant your rounds, and you automatically go back to Godhead. Automatic advancement. Sometimes this is told. Especially by leaders, managers. So Shivaram says, to think the term automatic advancement means that devotees need not do anything but mechanically follow the routines of devotional service to achieve perfection is to ignore the teachings of Shastra, Guru, and Sadhu. So if someone thinks that they can just mechanically follow the routines of devotional service, this means Vaidhi Bhakti, the rules and the Yama and Niyama, mechanically follow, then automatically they'll achieve perfection, then that attitude or that practice of that devotee, that devotional attitude or that practice is actually an ignorance. Ignoring means ignorance, being unaware, or he's actually ignoring the teachings of Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. Devotees who have been deluded means confused or put into illusion. Devotees who have been deluded like this ask, why should we know about anarthas, offenses, and the different stages of devotion? Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, we'll automatically become lovers of Krishna. But sometimes in the beginning, when you're preaching to new bhaktas or trying to get people to join, you want to make it very simple. In business, they have a principle called the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid. Now, if you're trying to sell something, don't go into a 10-page dissertation about how this is such a great vacuum cleaner. Because no one wants to sit there and listen. Although you may have a 10-page essay about how this is the greatest vacuum cleaner that's ever been created. But people don't want to listen to a 10-page presentation. You say it in 10 words. Whatever. So that's the art of advertising. That's the art of sales. KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid. So to attract new people to this rather unusual practice of Krishna consciousness, especially in the West, when they see the whole thing with shaved heads and all this, the cultural aspect, people get frightened. Say, no, it's very simple, it's very easy. Oh, there's so many books here. Guru Devi wrote 80 books. I don't like to read, and there's so much. I was never good in school, and isn't there any other way? Isn't there any other way I can get by? Yes, it's very easy. Just chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Can you say that? Yes, Hare Krishna. Oh. That's all I have to do? Yes, it's all you have to do. You just chant Hare Krishna, automatically you'll get love of God and become perfect and go back to Godhead. There's nothing else you have to do. Oh, that's nice. And that's exactly how Prabhupada preached in New York. So people came. He said, chant Hare Krishna, come for the Sunday feast. Take prasad. Come for the prasad. So then finally there was an initiation. And Prabhupada was giving initiation. He said, tomorrow will be initiations. And he said, you will take initiation. And that night, some of the devotees met each other. And they said, what is initiation? tomorrow, Prabhupada said he's going to give us initiation. What is that? So I don't know, it's some kind of, he's going to make some fire and ring some bells and chant some mantras. I don't know, it's a happening. It's like a happening. In those days, in the hippie days, there's something called a happening. Happening meant that a group of people, they get about 20 people, it would be about 10 people go to the park on a Sunday. Hey, bring your guitar, bring your bongos, bring your flute, bring your hand cymbals. and bring some herbs and spices. Different herbs. Yeah, herbs just have to bring different herbs and spices. And and so then they would get together and invite everybody. We'll have a happening. So then 10 people would come, and then some other people wandering the park with their guitars or flutes, and then they would sit down. And pretty soon you'd have what they call a happening. It just happened. Big Bang. Big Bang creation theory. It would just happen. And there'd be people, there'd be boys and girls and music and herbs and the sunshine and the fresh air and the park and the dogs jumping. And then pretty soon after a few hours, you were into the happening. It was really happening. And you were in the groove and you were feeling great. And you were dropping out, tuning in and turning on. So this was the beat generation, the hip generation, the 60s and 70s, and most of you weren't even born. at any rate, that was going on. And Prabhupada was in the middle of it. He was also coming to the park with his triangles and his kartals and his bongo. One bongo. Bongo is supposed to be, it's supposed to be two drums. And Prabhupada only had one. He was a poor hippie. Most hippies had two. Prabhupada only had one. So they said that this initiation thing, what is this initiation thing? That's what they said. What is this initiation thing? Oh, it's like some kind of happening. A lot of people are coming, a lot of people are invited, there's going to be music and food. It's another Swami happening. Okay, I guess, yeah, I'll go for it. So they sat there in the swaha, and throw this stuff, you know. And then Swamiji, hey, don't throw it on me, throw it in the fire. Throw it in the fire, you know, swaha, psh, hey, come on, you guys, in the fire. Swaha, swaha. So then it went like this. And then they're chanting and they're eating they go in the temple, chant, and they go outside, have a cigarette, across the street and have some donuts, egg clear donuts or whatever. And then one day, after a few days, after a week or so, Prabhupada put up a sign, a handwritten sign. All initiated members must chant 16 rounds every day of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and follow these regulative principles. And then after they're initiated, they went and looked at the wall. Huh? What? Did you see what the Swamiji put on the wall? No illicit sex. Well, what about my girlfriend uptown? And what about my girlfriend downtown? And what about the girlfriend I'm living with? And what about the girlfriend I'm supposed to see tonight? Hey, this is getting really heavy. Hey, I don't think I can take it, this initiation. I think you said it was a happening, but this is like a disaster. This is not a happening. This is a war. This is a disaster. This is a calamity. So then, a few devotees, they kind of slipped out right away, disappeared from the scene, and they weren't happening anymore in Second Avenue. So Prabhupada preached, he said, just chant Hare Krishna. And that was, he didn't introduce regular principles at all in the beginning. Even they were initiated, didn't know. And even when people first come, to the temple, we don't say, when they first come, do you know that you have to follow these four regular principles? Huh? Oh, goodbye, I'm out of here. And they never come back again. You say, yeah, come on. What do you guys do? Oh, we just chant Hare Krishna. We take prasad. We have a good time. We dance. We chant. Hey, this is pretty good. Yeah, come next week. Have any questions? Yeah, we have this philosophy. You're not the body. And go back to God. And yeah, Krishna's blue. He's cool, you know. Krishna plays a flute. He plays a guitar. He's like, you got long hair. He has long hair. He's into it. You have girlfriends. He has 16,000. My God. Hey, all right. That's the Lord I've been looking for. I mean, this guy's sitting on a big throne and there's no eyes and faces, and he's just sending this guy to heaven and this guy to hell and passing judgment. And this other idea of God as a big judge sitting on a big throne, I couldn't relate to that. But God with long hair and blue skin, hey, cool. He's like extraterrestrial. He's an ET, UFO. He's like from another planet. He's cool. He's blue. Wow, I always wonder why this guy was blue. When I would take my herbs and lie under the tree, I'd be thinking, wow, it's so blue. And it goes forever and ever. Where does it come from? Wow, man, oh, it's great. And then, but it's from him. The sky is blue because of Krishna.
That's what the guy, the shaved-headed guys told me at the temple. I always wondered why. My father could never answer. My mother never knew. So then everyone fell right into it. This Krishna's a cool guy. It's Govinda. It's Krishna. Gopal. Hey, Gopal. And then they come more, and then you say, actually, why don't you stay with us for a few days? Okay, all right. Can I bring my girlfriend? Well, no, not right now. Maybe later. You have to come by yourself. What about my dog? No, not now. Maybe later. Achcha. My guitar? Well, you leave it home. You can pick it up later. And then pretty soon they stay for a few days, and they say, actually, no, we follow these four regular principles. Huh? Hey, wait a minute. This is a change-up. You didn't tell me anything about that for so many months. Well, we wanted to get you acclimated. We wanted to get used to it. So then many devotees, they still have some scars for those beginning days. They think, well, it's just automatic. It's really easy. It's sublime. It's simple. Chant Hare Krishna, your life becomes sublime. You don't have to do anything. And then all of a sudden, it gets tough. There's so many rules. There's so many regulations. Rising early, four regs, and hard work, and Guru Seva, and Harinam Sankirtan, and book distribution. Wow, this is really a hard process. So then, devotees who have been deluded, why should we know about Anartha's offenses in the stages of devotion? It is true that practicing devotees advance automatically, but only if they carefully follow the right process. We cannot make advancement by following the wrong process. To distinguish between the right and wrong path, devotees must know the do's and don'ts of Krishna consciousness. As already mentioned, devotees who neglect the science of devotion and who chant without trying to avoid offenses cannot advance. How then will they become lovers of Krishna? Rather, Vaishnavas must carefully study the bhakti scriptures, which provide the roadmap to perfection. He's a very nice, he's a wonderful writer and wonderful philosopher, a great contribution. Prabhupada has created a great fruit. The tree of Prabhupada has produced this wonderful mango in the form of Shiva Ramaswamy, who is producing these incredible books. I mean, he's a fantastic writer. Of course, he has good editors, Kesha Bharati Maharaj and others, but nevertheless, he's writing it. It's his poetry and his philosophy and his phrases. Beautiful. His books are very, very profound and very, very clear. And very, very good. He said the bhakti scriptures provide a road map to perfection. Devotees must know the right path. They must know the detours and the pitfalls of their journey. If they do, no doubt, they will automatically make step-by-step progress, ascending systematically through the stages of devotional service. Although volumes could be written on the eradication of unwanted habits, anartha nivritti, we will conclude the topic here. This is the end of this chapter. No devotee has the independent power to remove from the heart the storehouse of unwanted habits accumulated over countless lifetimes of material activity. Boy, his sentences, his English is great. Very, very clear and very good. Independent means I can do it. I can do it myself. I can cleanse my heart from lust, anger, greed, envy, all these anarthas, all these material sanskaras. I can do it myself by my meditation, by my yoga, by my study. No one has the independent power to remove from the heart the storehouse of unwanted habits accumulated over countless lifetimes of material activity. But all anarthas can be quickly destroyed by the potency of devotional service and practice. Bhakti Yoga Shakti. It is, however, in every devotee's power to avoid committing offenses In other words, it's not within our power to purify our hearts. That's up to Bhakti Devi, which will bring transcendental knowledge and detachment, which will purify us. That's outside of ourselves. But within ourselves, we have the conscious, independent will and choice to make an offense or not make an offense. Therefore, we must know what they are so we can make the choice. This is an offense. Don't do it. This is not offense. It's okay. Every devotee has the power to avoid committing offenses while on the path of pure devotional service. Devotees can do a lot to avoid newer, more tenacious, which means strong, and even more dangerous bad habits. It is a question of making deliberate and educated choices at every moment. Book is too good. There's a question of making deliberate. Deliberate means you have to deliberate, have to think over what you're about to do. Prabhupada once said that an intelligent man, the sign of intelligence is that a person thinks three times before he says something. He doesn't shoot off at the mouth. And we have this phrase in English, shoot off at the mouth. He does that. Because of the impulse of passion, or the pushing of passion, we often say things that we later regret. So a man of intelligence means he's self-controlled. Self-controlled means he's sattvic. He's pervaded by sattva-gun. He's eating sattvic-ahara, and he's engaged in sattvic-achar. His behavior is pure and sattvic. His food stuff is sattvic. He doesn't sleep in a mode of ignorance. He doesn't act in a mode of ignorance. He doesn't speak in a mode of ignorance. He doesn't think in a mode of ignorance. It's all sattvic. So therefore he's controlled. He maintains his equilibrium. Sattvic is maintenance. So he maintains a peaceful attitude and a peaceful mind. He doesn't blow up. Like we see so many devotees, they seem so peaceful. But as soon as you take their sari by mistake, they start yelling. You took my sari! And they just blast out with a volcanic eruption of passion and attachment. Oh, I didn't realize it was almost the same color. I'm sorry. So we see how much attachment which we have, which is ignorance, and anger which we have is passion. And somebody steps on us or crosses our path. The snake looks very quiet sleeping in the path. It looks very peaceful, very, very peaceful. You're just drinking air, eating air, living on air. Not moving, very peaceful, very quiet, very silent, very sattvic, or very tamasic, you can say. But then you step on him. Starts hissing and spitting poison. So many devotees are like that. They seem so peaceful. As soon as you step on them, they start spitting poison and hissing. Because they're fake. They're not, they're fake. They're just show bottle. Colored water in a big glass bottle. So this is a very nice introduction that he's giving. This book is marvelous. One of the best books I've ever read. In terms of bhakti. I haven't even finished it, but I have to get back to it. It's such a deep book. It takes a lot of deep study, actually. One chapter is so much. I mean, I don't believe how much research he's done and how much deep thinking and meditation and writing he's done, which is a result of 30 or almost 40 years of preaching. He's a big preacher. So all of his preaching experiences and all his realizations are coming out here in a very synthesized and clear way. Very clear thinking. Presentation. All around it. Fabulous contribution to ISKCON. We discussed the definition of aparad, namaparad yesterday. So we discussed about the definition. This next entry is called The Effects of Namaparad. Before we read what we have said, Sri Ramaraj in the same book, Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, he has also discussed this very nicely. Sometimes people say, I make some offenses. Why have I made namaparad? What's the big deal? I offend Vaishnavas. I've been offending them for years.
And I'm still here. Nothing happened. I've been offending devotees. All this talk about offenses and this thing happens, that thing happens, that's all hogwash. I've been living in Vrindavan for so many years, offending every Vaishnavi and every Vaishnava. In ISKCON and Gaudiya Math, the Babaji's, the Radhakund, I don't spare anybody. I let everybody have it. Anybody gets in front of me, it's a double barrel. Boom, boom. 12 gauge. And look, I'm doing fine. I have a flat in the MVT. AC is always working nicely. I have a generator. I'm eating. Look outside, I get all these Italian lettuce from Rupa Raghunath's garden, organically grown lettuce. I'm living like a king, you know. Just all this talk about aparada, it's all a waste of time. Look at me, I offer artik. I go offer artik all the time. Do puja. What's the problem? Is there any problem? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates on this verse from Padma Puran. Kete parada viprendro. Namno Bhagavatat Kritaha. Vinignati Nrinam Krityam Prakritam Prakritam Yana Yantihi. This is the verse. O foremost of Brahmins, Vipra Indra means king of Vipras, Viprendra, what are the offenses against the name of the Lord that destroy the results of one's devotional service and even lead to material conceptions of transcendental topics? Vishnat gives his commentary. Although hearing and chanting should bestow Krishna prema, although visiting holy places should bestow pure devotion, and although honoring the Lord's remnants, prasad, should bestow freedom from material desire, offenses against the holy name neutralize all these blessed results. So you say, I'm living in Vrindavan for so many years, why am I not getting prema? I went around Giriraj so many times, why am I not getting prema? I eat so much Mahaprasadam. Every day I'm taking the khichdi at noon from the Maha plate. They give it to me free. I'm working in a deity department, and I'm getting free Mahaprasadam every day for 10 years. Every day it's free because I'm from Russia. I have no money. So I get it free, or I steal it, or I clean the plates and sneak it out. Somehow I get it. Every day for 10 years, and still I don't have a drop of prema. I'm full of lust. I'm full of greed and envy and anger. And I've been going to so many Bhagavatam classes and hearing about Krishna and chanting about Krishna, but still of all this anarthas and aparads. Why is that? Is there something wrong with this holy dham? There's something wrong with this Bhagavat Shravan? There's something wrong with this Mahaprasadam? It must be. No. There's something wrong with you. You are an aparadi. Because offenses against the holy name neutralize. Neutralize means cancels. Zero. Neutral. Zero. No progress. You have first gear, second, third, and fourth, fifth, and then you have reverse. Then you have something called neutral. Neutral means no forward progress, no backward progress. No progress. Zero. No movement. Furthermore, if the offense is grievous, means serious, devotional activities and things in relationship with devotion will appear to the offender as mundane. Mundane means material, ordinary, regular. What's the big thing? Bhagavatam class. Well, look, whether you're here and read a novel or read Bhagavatam, one book is full of stories, a novel is full of stories. There's no difference. What is it? They say Bhagavatam is transcendental or Krishna's Srup, Prem Srup. That's all hogwash. It's just some ordinary book. What these devotees, they stress too much sadhu sangha, hearing from sadhus. These devotees, they're like me. Nobody's advanced. None of these devotees are advanced. No devotees in this kind are advanced.
I don't need to go to class anymore. Why should I go to class? They're all neophytes. I know so much. I'm actually quite advanced. They don't know anything. They're the same. They've been here 20 years. They're saying the same thing. They don't know anything. If the offense is heinous, it will cause the offender to become inimical to guru, to devotional service, and the Lord himself. I mean, grievous means serious, and heinous means like really serious. You become inimical to guru, to devotional, to Bhakti Devi or devotion, and Krishna. Well, that's everything. You become inimical to guru, Krishna, and Bhakti, so that there's nothing left. It's your spiritual. There's no more spiritual. Basically, there's no more spiritual life. Ramadan, what is the example? Look at Chaitanya Charitamrita. Antya Leela, chapter 3, verse 177 through verse 214. Or excuse me. Antya Leela, chapter 8, verse 18 through 21. It's actually the story is about Ramachandra Puri. Ramachandra Puri dared to advise his exalted spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri. He told him, "Oh, you're leaving your body. Why are you chanting in a mood of separation? Like Radharani when Krishna went to Mathura. Why are you crying? Aya dina dayardha natahe Mathuranath kadava lokise. Oh, Mathuranath. Oh, now you're the Lord of the Mathura. When will I see you before my eyes again? Oh, dina dayardha. Oh, friend of the fallen. Why are you crying? Oh, Gurudev. Why are you crying out for Krishna? You're not separated from Krishna. Krishna is everywhere. He's Brahman. You should meditate on Brahman." So Ramachandra Puri advises Guru, Madhavendra Puri, at the time of his departure, to meditate on impersonal Brahman. This offense, which is serious, deprived Ramachandra Puri of his already meager devotion, which means small, and transformed him into a Mayavadi. Thus he became antagonistic toward Vishnu. Then whenever he visited Puri, he made it a habit to criticize Lord Chaitanya's standard of sannyas. For this sin, the Lord's devotees cursed Ramachandra and ultimately banished him from their company. In summary, devotees unfortunate enough to commit offenses against pure Vaishnavas or the holy name quickly lose the joyful taste of devotional service. You see how when devotees first join, they may be a little happy. And as Prabhupada said there, he said, my devotees, they're bright-faced. They're happy. And one devotee was meeting with Prabhupada. He said, "Prabhupada, sometimes we see devotees are very sad. They have a very long face. They seem very morose and unhappy." And Prabhupada said, They are not devotees. If someone has a long face and they're very morose, that means they're in Maya. That's all it means. It means they're in Maya. They're not thinking of Krishna. They're not remembering Guru. They're not engaged in Seva. They're engaged in Manaratena. They're traveling in the chariot of the mind. Manarath. Rath means chariot. Mana means mind. Manaratena. They're just speculating over the field of sense gratification. I can do this, I can do that. I want this, I want that. I wish I had this, I wish I had that. I don't like this, I don't like that. There's no joy there. They're just enraptured and enamored by Maya. So Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness means joyful. Period. Krishna consciousness means joyful. One is happy. Simple. Very simple. This is in the very beginning days. So this is what happens, is that this is also, then after some time, you're joyful when you begin. When you first come, you're very happy to be relieved from the material world, engaged as Krishna's servant. Then after some time, familiarity breeds contempt. You become contemptuous of those you live with. Your prior friends become your present enemies. Become contemptuous. Oh, this devotee, that devotee, this devotee, that devotee. You become a complainer. You start complaining.
wah, 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 like a little baby. Wah, wah, wah. Hey, he did this to me, mommy. And he did that to me, mommy. And she did that to me, mommy. And she said that to me, mommy. Oh, wah, 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 wah. So we start to become a complainer. We lose the focus of Krishna. And we lose the focus of devotion and start looking at ourselves. And forget Krishna and start thinking of ourselves. He said this about me. And she said that about you. Oh, I don't like you. I don't like you. And we get all wrapped up in nitpicking, and we start to know everybody's name and everyone's little idiosyncrasies and little faults in the temple we live with, and we start picking on it. And then we forget Krishna. And we start thinking of bodies. We start thinking of bodies and people and countries and places and all kinds of mayak vichar, illusory considerations, and we become morose. We become unhappy. We become dejected. Become sad. We become long-faced. We're living in the temple, going through the rudiments of devotion, going to Mangalarti, dragging ourselves to Mangalarti, dragging ourselves through our service, and running to prasadam. And quickly eating prasadam, and dragging ourselves back to our service, and dragging on our service. Devotees unfortunate enough to commit offenses against pure Vaishnavas or the holy name quickly lose the joyful taste of devotional service because the holy name neglects them. We're ignored by the holy name or forgotten by the holy name. As a result, devotees' unwanted habits fructify into the bitter fruits of desire for wealth, women, and fame. Those offenders too arrogant to take shelter of the Vaishnavas are blinded by material desires and fall into the ditch of chronic antagonism against the Lord and His servants. They soon perish and disappear from the society of devotees. This is a story told many times, a story seen many times. Anyone who's been around for 1 year has seen it. If you've been around for 10 years, you've seen it. You've been around for 20 or 30, you've seen many come and many go. But everyone follows the same pattern. Every single one, without exception, follows the same pattern. Join the fan club. What's this? Somebody's asking a question. No. That's a good question. Otherwise, it would be Murphy right now. There's one other entry here. Fan club. It's Krishna's arrangement. Everyone can engage in Vaishnava Seva by fanning the devotee next to you. And that way you can cancel your Vaishnava parads. It's an appropriate conclusion of the Bunky Bihari Bijli Department. So now that's a very, very profound and eloquent description from Shivaram Maharaj's book. Really empowered by Prabhupada to write wonderfully. And now we'll read something from this section. Acha. Oh. Oh, that's good. Well, that's a good observance because you've seen him for 30 years in Vrindavan. No, I haven't seen him. I'm saying you have seen. That's good. I think he must have found some new fruits. This book is wonderful. He's sharing a lot of his, so much of his experience. Wonderful contribution. This is from Ardha chanting. The effects of Namaparad. By offending Sri Nam,
one loses taste and attraction for sadhana bhakti. In other words, a devotee will no longer derive any happiness from hearing and chanting. He will not derive any happiness from sadhu sangha and not derive any happiness from serving Sri Guru. The world of Krishna and his devotees becomes dry for the offender. It becomes tasteless and hackneyed. Apathy toward Krishna is a diseased condition of the soul. As a sick man taking medical treatment quickly regains his taste for palatable foods, similarly, an offender who continually chants the holy name will nullify his transgressions and regain a taste for the holy name. We were mentioning what are the effects that when one makes aparad, namaparads, it's such a serious thing that there are direct effects and results that happen by making namaparad, offenses against Krishna's holy name. Firstly, we lose the joy of bhakti because the nam, Sri Nam Prabhu becomes upset. Krishna becomes upset and he ignores the devotee. And so when bhakti withdraws from us, bhakti is joyful. Bhakti is love. Bhakti is prema. When someone is in love, they feel very happy. They feel very joyful. So even a neophyte devotee who begins to practice devotion, he is experiencing some drops of love. Love for Krishna is compared to an ocean. Bhakti rasamrita sindhu. Sindhu means ocean. Ras means mellow, loving mellow or bliss. And amrita means nectar. So it's an ocean of nectarine mellows, full of bliss. This is bhakti. So if we stand on the shore of the ocean and a few waves crash and some of the spray from the wave falls on our face, we feel some relief. We feel something in a hot summer day. So that bhakti, when we begin to practice bhakti and chant Hare Krishna and association of devotees and begin devotional service, we actually feel some joy, some spray, joyful spray, some drops of joy. And it seems that it grows day by day. The more we associate with devotees and the more we practice pure bhakti and the more we chant the holy name without offenses, our joy increases day after day. We actually become more and more happy, more and more peaceful. It is everyone's direct experience. But somehow or other, if someone becomes unfortunate and he starts to offend the holy name and offend Vaishnavas, then Bhakti Devi, the goddess of devotion, a goddess of joy and love and knowledge, she withdraws. She withdraws from that devotee. And he becomes long-faced, becomes sad, and he's dragging himself around the temple, and he doesn't look very happy. You can understand the barometer, how much bhakti is in a temple, simply by looking at faces. If you go into a temple, and you look at the faces of the members of the temple, you can understand the degree of bhakti in that temple and in those individuals. It's very, very clear, especially if you're a traveling sannyasi. Because sannyasis, they travel from temple to temple. And different temples, it's very clear. It's like a weatherman predicting the weather by seeing different types of cloud formations or wind in the sky or barometric pressure rising or falling. So when I've gone to temple and they see the face, everyone's... You see that there's many offenders in that temple, and you see all sad faces everywhere. That means there's some problems here, a lot of problems in this temple, with the management, with the leadership, with the preaching, with the practices of bhakti. Because everybody's... And you go in other temples, everyone's like blissful. Everyone's happy. Their faces are radiating. It's tangible. It's practical. Tangible means you can touch it, you can see it, you can perceive it. It's not an imagination. Anyone can see. Even a gross karmi who's not trained spiritualist, he can perceive that, oh, I went to this one temple. Everybody seems so happy there. They're so happy. They're so helpful. They're so friendly. They welcome you. Oh, welcome. Where are you? And, but I went to this other temple. Everyone seems so angry and so agitated and so upset and not very friendly and seems to be preoccupied and they don't have any time. They're so busy. They're not very friendly. They're rushing here and there. No one had time to even say hello or even smile, say Haribo. This is also there. So this means, it's a fact that there is a direct effect.
that when one becomes an offender, you see how they become sad, and especially it's very, very, very clear if you are offending a particular person, if you're offending a particular devotee, as soon as you see that devotee, you get really nervous. You get really nervous, and you're afraid to look at them. And you, oh, there's a devotee. Mm-hmm. And your face takes on this certain kind of mood, this certain kind of color, there's a certain kind of aura. The aura means the jyoti of one's body and mind and atma. They give off a certain aura, color, vibration. It's a vibration which has a color. It can be purple and blue, yellow, green, pink, red. There are different colors in one's physical aura. And even in Russia, I remember once when I was in the 70s, there was some Russian guy named Kirlian or something like that. He developed a type of photography called Kirlian, K-I-R-L-I-A-N, Kirlian photography. And he developed some kind of sensitive film. So it was based on some kind of sensitive film or camera lens or something. Very photo-sensitive film, and he would put people before a black sheet or background or something, maybe white or black, I can't remember, it's so long ago. Then with his special film he developed or camera, he would take their picture, and then he could see the aura pattern, the colors around the body, and a healthy person will give out kind of a yellow and brightish yellow, whitish aura. If he's sick, it'll be kind of green or different colors. And this, I read studies because I was studying all types of naturopathic medicine along with my ordinary course in college of allopathic medicine. It was very, very interesting because we had studied all these things from psychic phenomenon and metaphysics, other people have auras. And he was quantifying it. He was quantifying it, actually showing scientifically, yes, people have auras. Even plants have an aura and leaves and all these things. Very, very interesting. So when one comes before, because I've had the experience, because it's somehow or other I have some karma that in my karma I have what they call Gupta Shatru. Gupta Shatru means I have hidden enemies. Gupta means hidden. Gupta Shatru means hidden enemies. Somehow or other some people are friends of everyone. They're Jata Shatru. It's described in first canto of Bhagavatam. Yudhisthira Maharaj was a Jata Shatru. Ajata Shatru. Ajata means ajanma. Shatru means enemy. There was no enemy born. There was no enemy of Yudhisthira. So at any rate, this is Yudhisthira Maharaj, his beautiful quality of having no enemies, but somehow due to our pop karma, we have Gupta Shatru, hidden enemies. We don't have any, and no one is our enemy. We're friendly to everyone and equipoised. We try to respect everyone and love everyone, serve everyone. But these enemies, they're there. So behind my back, when I'm not there, they see so many things. He's this, that. And many things will be said. And I come to know also. Now, when I come on the scene in front of those people, I immediately know who they are because their aura changes. And I can see their face. Oh, there he is. There's the guy. And they try to, Maharaj, Haribo. They even try to be friendly. And I always say Haribo. But I can see very clearly, 100%, who they are, what they are, and even I can understand. So when one becomes an offender to Vaishnavas, they lose their joy. They lose their taste for devotion. They don't want to associate with devotees. All these things we've discussed. So now what are those 10 offenses in the holy name? These are mentioned in the most ancient scriptures, like Padma Puran. In Padma Puran, they're listed. I think we can read them today. And then that's about all the time we have in our next class, Chaitanya Bhagavat. First one is to show envy or criticize a devotee or saintly person. Satam ninda namna param apararam vidanute yata khyatim yatam gatam U sahate cha vigarham. To show envy or to criticize a devotee or a saintly person. That's number one. Number two, Shivasya Shri Vishnur ya iha guna namadi sakalam diya binam pashyat nakalu. Harinama hita hitakara.
to think that the names or qualities of the demigods are equal to Krishna. Shivasya, like Shiva, for example. Actually, there's a deeper explanation of this because that's described later in the book. Sometimes this offense is to think that it is an offense to think that Shiva or Krishna are different. Because Shiva, on one level, there's different forms of Shiva. There's the 11 Rudras, which are involved with Pralaya, or destruction of the universe, which are expansions of the material Shiva. But there's a spiritual Shiva, which is called Sadashiva, and he is Vishnu Tattva. Vishnu Tattva means God, Vishnu. Krishna is also Vishnu Tattva. Krishna is God. And that Sadashiva, he's in Shiva Loka in the spiritual world. And he's an expansion of Sankarshan, Anantashesh. And Anantashesh is Balaram. He's Vishnu Tattva. So to think that, because it says here, Shivasya, Shri Vishnur, Guna Namadi, Sakalam, Diya Binam. Binam means difference. To think there's a difference between Vishnu and Shiva on that level. On the spiritual level. Of course, then Shiva expands into the material world as Shiva and Parvati, and they're of a different order. That's called Shiva Tattva. But even the Shiva who resides in Kubera Loka, in this world he lives in Kubera Loka on a mountain called Kailash, because Kubera is a very great devotee of Lord Shiva of this world. And so Shiva lives there with Parvati and Ganesh and Ganapat and Kartikeya. And that Shiva is an expansion of the original Vishnu Tattva, and he is what they call Shiva Tattva. He's not a Jiva like us, we are Jiva Tattva, and he's not Vishnu Tattva, he's not God. He's not God and he's not like us, but he's in between. So he's called Shiva Tattva. So when they say to think that that Shiva is equal to or different than Vishnu, that's the offense, because Vishnu is supreme. And the other point is, so sometimes we think, oh, Shiva, he's just a demigod. We worship Krishna, we worship Ram, Vishnu, Narayan. Oh, we don't have any regard, no adar for Shiva. And we maybe make offense, oh, the Shiva linga, why you pay respects to Shiva? No, that's an offense. Vaishnava should never offend in this way. Because ultimately, in the highest form, the original form of Shiva is also God, is also Vishnu, Vishnu Tattva. That's why it's called Sadashiva. That's why there's a difference. There's a different name, Sadashiva. Sada means Sat. Sat means eternal, the eternal Shiva. There's expansion of Sankarshan. And then this is a long tattva. I gave a whole class in Shivratri. I think you were here for that. Were you here for Shivratri? No. Well, you have the tape, is there. It was a 6-hour class, and you were there. You recorded it, because I lost the recording. So the 6-hour class on Shiva Tattva, explaining all the different nuances. So this offense is to think. In other words, the point is that even the Sadashiva, he is subordinate to and dependent on Krishna. Because Krishna is the Adipurush. He's the original topmost form of Godhead. And he expands into so many Vishnu Purushas or Vishnu avatars. And then they expand into Sadashiva, and then Sadashiva expands into Shiva, this world. So it's like this, ultimately. Third offense is Guru Avagya, to disrespect or disobey the order of Guru, Avagya. Shuti Shastra Nindanam, to disrespect the scriptures. Now, disrespect means, someone might say, oh, I respect the scriptures. If I see a holy book, I touch it to my forehead. I don't put it on the ground. I always put it on a bookstand. I keep the scriptures on the bookshelf. I respect the Quran. I respect the Bible. I respect the Gita and Upanishads and the Vedas. I have all respect. So people think that's all. That's all it means. So therefore, I have respect for the Vedas, so I'm not making any offense when I chant Ram Nam or Vishnu Nam or Krishna Nam. People think like this, but this is a misconception, because this is also an offense. Because not only does this Shruti Shastra Nindanam, disrespect, not only does it mean disrespect, it means disregard. Disregard means to not follow the scriptures. It's one thing, of course, we should show respect and touch to our head, or sometimes they carry the Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam or Ramayana,
they carry on their head when they go in procession before Ram Katha or Krishna Katha, Bhagavat Saptaha. They carry on their head and then they worship the book, Granta Puja. But the real Nindanam, the real Shastra Nindanam, Shruti Shastra Nindanam, is to not follow the Shastra. To not open the Shastra, study it, and follow the teachings. That's the real offense. Because in the Shastra it says, in human form of life, you must take diksha from a bona fide diksha guru. This is the niyam, this is the order, this is the command, the injunction. And if you're not, if you haven't taken diksha from a bona fide guru, then you're an offender to the Shastra. And therefore, when you chant your Ram Nam, Krishna Nam, Vishnu Nam, you're also making Nam Aparad. Because you're doing Nindanam. You're disregarding the scriptures. You're disrespecting the scriptures. It's not enough to say, oh, I'm a human being, I respect the scriptures, but I do my own thing. I work, I eat, I sleep, I maintain my family. Animals do that. Human life is meant for self-realization. And you can't realize the self without guru. Impossible. So therefore, this offense is very, very important, because many people say, I don't need guru. The holy name is there. Ram Nam is so powerful. Vishnu Nam, Vishnu Sahasranam is so powerful. Krishna Nam is so powerful. Why I need guru? Hare Krishna. But the holy name is a person. And the holy name is telling in the Padma Pran, I can be offended. I'm also a person. I'm a person. You're a person. You can be offended. If I do something, you can feel, hey, you offended me. If I come and say something bad about your mother or father, hey, why are you speaking about my mom? I'm offended. So there's so many ways you can offend me, physically or verbally or mentally or whatever. And I can respond and I'll react. So the holy name, Ram Nam, Krishna Nam, Vishnu Nam, they're all, it's personal. It's supreme person. Bhagavan. Bhagavan Nam, the supreme person. So if you offend him, then he'll respond. He'll react. So therefore he's saying, I can be offended in these 10 ways. I'm offended. The holy name is offended if you don't find guru. The holy name is offended if you don't take shelter of guru. Guru Parashraya. That's an offense to Krishna. Krishna took guru. Ram took guru. Chaitanya took guru. You're better than them? You don't need guru? You're taking Krishna's name, but no guru. You're taking Ram Nam, but no guru. But Ram took guru, Vasishtha Muni. Krishna took guru, Sandipani Muni. Chaitanya took guru, Ishwara Puri and Keshava Bharati, or Sannyas. So one should know the extent of what this means. Tatartavado, to think the glorification of the name as empty praise, artavad. Harinamni kalpanam, to imagine kalpanam, meanings of the holy name. Namno balad yasya hi papa buddhi, to have buddhi, have the intelligence to think, oh, I can commit sin, and then chant Hare Krishna, and the holy name will free me from the sin. This will be my prayaschitta, prayaschit, atonement. I commit sins, but the holy name is very powerful. So I cleanse myself. I get dirty, I take a bath, I become clean. So it's no problem I get dirty, because I know I can get clean. I get dirty working on the car, my hands are all greasy, this, that. But I get the grease cutter, this, that, I become clean again. So I'm not afraid to get dirty, because I know I can get clean. So I'm not afraid to sin. I engage in sin, because I know that I can chant Hare Krishna and get purified, free from that sin. But then this is viparita. Viparita buddhi. Viparita buddhi means upside down intelligence. Inverted thinking. Inverted, right? Inverted thinking. Upside down. Vipariti. Viparita buddhi. So we're trying to be clever. Hey, Krishna, I'm going to fool you. Aha. I'm going to commit this sin. I'm going to say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And I'll become purified. Oh, really? You think so? Acha? I'm not so foolish. You think you can outwit me? You will have to suffer for this sin, no doubt. Navidite yasya ya marhi shuddhi dharma bratatyaga hutari sarva shubha kriya samyamapi pramad. To consider the name on the same level as pious activities, and many things. To think it's just some religious, it's equal to some religious practice. Dharma bratyag hutari. Ashradane vimukkepi anshinvanti yaschopadesha shiva namaparat. To give the name to unqualified people know, sometimes people ask, of course we'll discuss later, they say, oh, to give the name to someone who's not qualified. Well, you people, you Hare Krishna people, you make it a practice to go out on the streets and do Nam Sankirtan. You're going everywhere, Mridanga, Kol and Kartal, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And so many drunkards and woman mongers and sinful people, meat eaters and all gamblers and all bad sinful people, they're walking on the streets and they're hearing the holy name. So you're distributing the holy name to them. You're giving the holy name. So therefore, you're making offense. You're offending the holy name to give the holy name to an unqualified person. So what do you say? How will you answer that? The point is that we're not individually giving the holy name in anyone's ear. Yes, I'm going to initiate you into the sacred glories of the holy name and explain the process of Nam Bhajan and engage you in the process of Nam Bhajan by speaking the mantra in your ear and imbuing that mantra with my personal bhav and explaining the meaning of the mantra which you should meditate on and explaining the krama, the sequence of chanting and the proper process of chanting. That we're not doing when we're going in Harinam. We're simply broadcasting the birds, the trees, the insects, the beasts, the paschandis. Everyone can accept or not accept. And this is Lord Chaitanya's Harinam Sankirtan movement, to go every town and village, to every Tom, Dick and Harry. As they say in America, every Tom, Dick and Harry means everybody. Sublog Nam Kirtan, Shuniye. Sublog Shuniye. Krishnam Bolo. Because it will benefit them, because they are Pashandis and Nashtik and they're Ashraddha. They have no Shraddha. But by hearing the holy name, willfully or unwillfully, acceptingly or unacceptingly, they will get benefit. Consciously or unconsciously. It's called agyata. Agyata sukriti. Sukriti that comes without their knowing, without agyan. Agyata. Agyata sukriti. Good deed. A very, very good deed that they will be doing unknowingly. By hearing this holy name, the holy name, the transcendental pavitranam, the pavitranam, the purifying holy name of the Lord will enter their heart, enter their ears, and go in their heart, and remove and create some faith. Put a few drops of faith in their heart. And as they hear every day the Harinam comes by their store, and every day they hear the Harinam, and every day they tell the Hare Krishnas to go to hell, and every day they close their ears like this, and every day they make faces, and day after day after day. And after a few months they stop making faces, and they stop telling you to go to hell, and they start listening. What are they saying anyway? It just sounds like mumbo jumbo. What are they actually saying? Then after the third, fourth month, then some devotee comes in his store to sell a magazine during Harinam. He walks into his store and the guy looks around and he says, listen, I've been listening to you guys every day for 3 months. And 3 months ago, I was a complete atheist. I hated God. And most of all, I hated you. I hated the Hare Krishnas. You're weird. You have no hair and you wear a bed sheet. You shave off your head and you look like a jerk. And you have this bird stuff on your face. Some bird dew on your face. And you're jumping up around making all this noise. But after 6 months, I've become curious. What are you guys all about? What are you doing? What are you saying? What are you saying out there? I don't even know what you're saying. What are you actually saying? And then the very sincere preacher says, my dear sir, we are the Hare Krishna people. And we are teaching people to glorify the name of God. And these are we are singing three names of God, Hare, Krishna, and Ram. And then he preached to this person. And all of a sudden, the 6 months ago, person was a staunch atheist, non-believer. Now he starts becoming curious. He becomes cooled down. His heart becomes purified. Faith starts to grow in his heart. Simply by
indirectly, unwillingly hearing the Harinam Sankirtan. So therefore, to go out on Nam Sankirtan and distribute the holy name in this way is not an offense to the holy name. It is not the eighth offense to give the holy name to the unqualified people, because everyone's unqualified. But we're not directly telling them the glories. We're not initiating directly into the mantra. And so it's not an individual giving. So we're not making that offense, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was going everywhere giving the holy name to everyone. And the last offense is Shrutepi Nam Mahatmyaya Priti Rahito Naraha Aham Amadi Paramo Namni Sopya Parada Krit. To not have faith or taste in the name, even after hearing its glories. And to accept the name without giving up material attachment. There's quite a lot of things here in this one offense. A lot of requirements. Shrutepi nama mahatmiya priti rahito naranama mamadi aham mamadi. So this is the tenth offense to holy name, to accept the name without giving up material attachment. So we'll give a little bit discussion further about this.